lesson is titled Religious versus Spiritual.
Welcome to another edition of Bible Truths. My name is Chris Menser, part-time evangelist for the 8th Street Church of Christ. Welcome you once again to this week's episode. And I ask that you open up your Bibles and if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8 in just a little bit. But first, I want to discuss some things in regards to today's subject. We are looking at the concept of religious versus spiritual. Now, a lot of times people understand that that is pretty much the same thing, but there are differences in it. And the thing of it is, though, is there's differences that even people consider to be different. And I know that sounds confusing, but by the time we're done with this introduction, you'll have a little bit of a better understanding, as I have. One way to rationalize clear disobedience to Christ is to insert that one is spiritual while acknowledging one is not religious. A coworker of mine a few years ago, she and I would discuss religion all the time. We talk about Bible, we talk about church services, talk about the worship. Then one day, just out of the blue, she announced that she was not religious, but spiritual. And that really confused me. I didn't quite understand what she was talking about. But from a couple of things that I've looked at online and heard from people talking about, what they're trying to tell you is religion is like something that is for those people who are afraid to go to hell. But being spiritual is for those who have already been to hell and back. And of course, what they're talking about is their day-to-day living in which they survive the trials and tribulations of everyday life. The hardships that they have to go through, you know, the lack of money for bills, the lack of money for rent, food for their kids, doctor bills, and so on and so forth. And yet, they manage to finally come out on the other side for the better after all these tribulations, and yet they feel that now that they've been through all that, they don't need religion anymore. They're more of a spiritual individual, and they feel better about themselves. Another example that people say is that Christianity is more of a relationship than a religion. The fact, and the thing of it is that more and more churches are even promoting the concept of relationships. As a matter of fact, one church online, when they talk about the different things that they offer on their computer screen, their opening webpage, the word relationship comes up after every three or four words, talking about unity, talking about concern, talking about worship. And the word relationship keeps popping up, and it's almost like a subliminal kind of concept. But it shows that they want to say that let's go along to get along, and that division between people is just an ugly thing. So what they're saying is organized religion is an offense and oppressive and opportunistic, while spiritual is being cleansing and fulfilling because one connects with their inner self. There's a social media meme that I came across one time that said, spirituality is a personal relationship with the divine, not saying God, but the divine, and that religion is just crowd control. Now, we're not going to deny that there are abuses of and sins of organized religion. And the scriptures teach that. If you look in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, Jesus says there, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, this is Matthew 15, let's go to verse 8, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the commandments of men. So we know that there are sometimes abuses in regards to what is considered organized religion, but we readily accept that one's life must conform to religion's claims in order to have a worthy influence. Going to James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says there, if any man thinketh himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Another example is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says there, beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles, that wherein they speak against you as evildoers, that they may, by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And that's the thing that they don't understand either. People who call themselves spiritual, they don't understand that there are lusts and sins that war against our soul. But what it is it's a false comparison. It's a devil's lie that talks about being religious versus being spiritual. It's not that example at all, but what it is, it's being spiritual versus being natural. We wholly reject that one can be spiritual in the scriptural way while rejecting the very scriptures that teach what it means to be spiritual in one's life. So then what does it mean to be spiritual? Well, the world's definition of spiritual is a humanistic view, and it's defined self by self for self. In other words, it's a concept of self-discovery, self-definition, and self-fulfillment. A woman by the name of Margaret Paul, Ph.D., wrote an article called What Does It Mean to Be Spiritual? And here's a couple paragraphs from that article. It says, being a spiritual person is synonymous with being a person whose highest priority is to be loving to oneself and others. A spiritual person cares about people, animals, and the planet. A spiritual person knows that we are all one and consciously attempts to honor this oneness. A spiritual person is a kind person. If you want to be a spiritual person, then let your kindness be your guiding light, kindness toward yourself, towards others, towards animals, and toward this beautiful planet that is our home. Recognize that we all have the spark of love that is God within us, and learn to honor that love so that you can know and experience the oneness of all that is. Now, from the offset, on the outside, that sounds so beautiful, so wonderful, and so warm and heartfelt. But as you dig into it a little bit, it's a lot of drool and a lot of nonsense, in all honesty. Going back to the phrase where she says, the highest priority is to be loving to oneself and others. Well, that's not true. The highest priority is to God, not to yourself or to others. But God comes first. It talks about honoring this oneness. Well, that, of course, is putting God second. Let kindness be your guiding light. Well, there's no truth to that either, because if you are an actual spiritual individual, you know that God's word is our guiding light. Looking at Psalm 119, verse 105, it says there, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The guiding light is the word of God, not your kindness. The spark of love that is God. That is one thing that really grates against me. The fact that God is more than just a spark of love. He is the creator of the universe, the creator of all things. It's not just a spark of love. There's so much more to God than that. So then the question is, what is the Bible definition of spiritual? If you turn with me to the book of Romans, we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. It says there, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you are self-serving, a person who is looking for self-discovery, self-division, self-definition and self-fulfillment, you are pleasing yourself in the flesh. And therefore, as verse 8 says, you cannot please God. Let's look a little closer at these verses here. Again, chapter 8, verse 5, set your mind on the things of the Spirit and not on the things of the flesh. That is what it means to be spiritual. And set your mind on the things of the Spirit is the things that are found in the Scriptures. We also want to live according to the Spirit. Another passage that talks about this, if you turn with me to the book of Galatians, in chapter 5, looking at verses 16 and 17. Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17. It says there, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Another example here we have is looking at Romans 8, look at verse 6. It talks about spiritually minded individuals produce life and peace. Similar thing to this is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, seeing that his divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. That is how we obtain life and peace, is following the things that were given to us by God, and that's the things that are found in the Scriptures. That's what he meant by he said that he granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That is everything we need in the Scriptures. A lot of people who call themselves spiritual probably won't even bother to open up a Bible. They'd rather experience the concept of oneness with God or a divine power, if you will. Now, we're also subject to the law of God, which of course is found in the Scriptures, and that is verse 7 of our text. Because it says, you know, the carnal mind is enmity of God. We have to be subject to the law of God. And of course, it also pleases God by being in the Spirit. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And it says verse 8. Now let's jump down to verses 9 through 11, looking at Romans 8 again. Verses 9 through 11, they continue on the thought. It says there, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. A lot of times people have the concept of being a spiritual individual, and that once they cease to exist, their body ceases to exist, their mind, their soul, their spirit cease to exist, but it's just their consciousness that remains, and it returns to the universe. And that is basically what they call old shamanism or Hindu thinking. You're no longer an individual, but you're just a consciousness which returns to the universe. So the opposite of spiritual is natural, or to be carnal or carnally minded. They want to live by sight and not by faith. They are looking for the religious experience. The spiritual people want to look for that experience to see and feel the concept of spirit or the concept of religion. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So it's not a matter of looking for things to know that you are doing what's right. It's by reading the Scriptures and having the faith that God is not steering you wrong. Again, we also want to know that to live according to the flesh is the opposite of being spiritual. And that goes back to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Another passage that talks about this is in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says there, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man has loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The natural man is void of spiritual discernment, because he rejects the word of God." And a lot of times you talk to these people who claim to be spiritual, you ask them what their favorite book is of the Bible, and they'll probably tell you that they don't read the Bible, and they get their thoughts and their desires of spirituality just from the universe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul talks about this and says, "Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged." So the next thing we want to look at then is, what is the fruit borne by spiritual people? And again, we refer to spiritual people by those who follow the Word of God in the Scriptures. Well, if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, we'll look briefly at this list, and of course we'll look at it a little closer in a little bit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, it gives a listing of all the things that the fruit of the Spirit produces, or what it is. Look at verse 22 real quickly. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." Verse 23, "Gentleness, self-control, against there is no law." Jumping down to verse 25, it says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." So we want to keep ourselves grounded in the Scriptures to be considered a spiritual individual. So the spiritual person sets his mind on things in heaven. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, we'll look at verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, beginning verse 1. It says there, Paul writes, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So the spiritual person's thoughts, motives, intentions, goals, and decisions are based on Christ's authority, not on the earth, as stated in the first two verses there. And because of conversion and the hope of glory, and that's verses 3 and 4. Now the next thing is the spiritual person receives the word of God. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, looking at verses 14 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, start at verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The spiritual man is guided by revelation. He receives the things of the Spirit of God. And that goes back to verses 10 through 13, 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 13. Let's read that real quick. It says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And of course that goes on to talking about the mind of Christ in verse 16. It says, we have the mind of Christ. And the way we have the mind of Christ is what is found in the Scriptures. The application to this can be found then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. It says there, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? And that shows a person who is not as spiritual, they are still carnal in their reasoning. That's why Paul talked about feeding them with milk and not solid food. And of course, the concept of milk is basically the first principles of the Scriptures, not the deeper things, which is considered solid food. Christians may not only be unspiritual, but they may be even anti-spiritual because of the fact that they reject some of the more weightier things of the Bible and rather be fed with the milk of the Word, which is talking about just the first principle things. Next, the spiritual person conforms to the will of God. And we're going to turn with me to Romans chapter 12, looking at verses 1 and 2. So this just shows really what a spiritual person actually is all about. And so an individual who says that they are spiritual and not religious does not really know what they are talking about in regards to the spiritual things. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says there, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Moral choices are conformed to God's will and not that of the world. And a lot of times the decisions we make based on God's word does not conform to the ways of the world. People who are unscripturally divorced, they think that just because they are divorced, they can move on to the next woman and get married again. But if they are unscripturally divorced, according to the word, like in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, they cannot marry again. But obedient faith is our reasonable or rational service. And that's why we conform ourselves to the word of God instead of the word of the world. The next thing is a spiritual person communes with God in prayer. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says there, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Think of it as peace in life is born out of relationship with God and not self-discovery. And the only way you're going to have that relationship with God is if you pray to Him. A lot of times prayer is looked upon as being a selfish thing, but what it actually is a self-emptying, if you will. Let's turn to James chapter 4 and verse 3 real quick. Let's take a look and see what it says there. James chapter 4 and verse 3. It says there, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." A lot of times people look at prayer as being selfish because of the fact that they spend all their time asking for this and asking for that. And it's mostly materialistic things. If I can only win the lottery, then I promise I'll go to church more often. Or if I can win the heart of my girlfriend, I promise that I'll marry her and we'll be happy and faithful for the rest of our lives. But those are just, you know, empty words to God, and they're not the depth of, you know, bearing your soul the truth. Another example is in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It says there, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." A lot of times people come often, too often to God for help when they are sick or if they need, you know, this, that, or the other. A lot of times all you have to do is just come to the throne of God and just thank Him for being there for you. Thank Him in your time of need. Thank you when you don't need Him. But thank Him for always being there as being a part of being a Christian. It's not a matter of being selfish. Next, we show that the spiritual person using heavenly wisdom to bear the fruit of righteousness towards other. Going back to the book of James, looking at chapter 3 this time, verses 13 through 18. Chapter 3 of the book of James, starting at verse 13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that our works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And that's exactly what the spiritual person is supposed to be all about. It's not self-serving. It's not self-discovery. It is doing things for God and by God. You want to treat others with meekness, as in verse 13, with integrity, verse 14, purity, peacefully, gently, deference, mercy, and do it sincerely. And that's from verse 17. But we don't want to do it with bitter envy, ambition, and boasting, or an earthly carnal, because that is all of the devil, as stated in verse 15. Finally, we show that the spiritual person fights against evil. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, we're not going to look at the entire passage in the interest of time. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 talks about the armor of God and putting on it. It gives a description of that armor of God further down the verses of Ephesians chapter 6. What a lot of people don't understand is we are on a daily battle against the forces of evil. And that's what it means to really be spiritual. Now let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 2 through 5. This will really hit home for what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a spiritual individual. So it is not spiritual to go along to get along. We are in a constant spiritual battle, and it demands spiritual warriors. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we look at verses 2 through 5. It says there, "I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Does that sound like going along to get along? Absolutely not. If people talk against God and what they have and what God has to say, that is where we as Christians and spiritual people need to stand up for the truth and stand against what they have to say, which they think to be the truth. So in conclusion today, If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, we'll look at a couple closing thoughts before we conclude. Christians must be a spiritual individual, and it's a spirituality that goes hand in hand with the concept of being religious. Naturally, they're not the same thing, but being spiritual and being religious is separate from being a natural or carnal man. Philippians 3:20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We live according to the Spirit by obeying the gospel of Christ, and there's no condemnation, as stated in Romans chapter 8, and verse 1. We need to put off the old man of sin and put on the new man to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, which is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. So I hope you understand what it means to be a spiritual individual, and it's not just being somebody who is one with the universe. You need to be a spiritual individual and also be a religious individual. This has been an episode of Bible Truths.